This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Rajvi Subramanian.
Will, you write a weekly column in the McDonough County Voice, and last week in your column you mentioned that some major news gathering organizations, including the New York Times, have become leery of sending any of their reporters to accompany the president and his aides during the next few weeks because the president and his close advisors are not following protocols for COVID-19, and these news organizations are concerned about putting their reporters in harm's way.
That's right, Rich, and it's just been interesting as we wrap up this 4-year term for the president, and we're just weeks away from the election. And we've seen access extremely limited to journalists. And, of course, now it's taken a brand new turn, right? It's come to the point to where journalists who have been part of the Washington, D.C. press corps are almost asked to decide or to choose or select what they need to do, whether to do their job or to keep their friends and family and themselves healthy. And unfortunately, as the New York Times reported, the major newspapers in that press corps, the Washington Post, New York Times, et cetera, they're being restricted on their own volition and making their own choice to limit the amount of people who follow the president on Air Force One and follow him on his campaigns because they fear for their own health. And that's a new all-time low, I think, for any kind of administration. This administration had already done considerable damage as far as having access to the executive branch, and now we have this. This is just gone from just completely surreal, and it's another issue that I think that this White House should have to answer for, and it's again finding yet another way to keep the people from access to their president. I think it's a shame.
Well, usually you see reporters fighting for the chance to cover the White House. So I find this really unusual. Rajvi, have you seen anything like this during the course of your career?
See, it's very prestigious for any reporters to cover a powerhouse, for instance, White House or Washington. You know, that's pretty much the hub of the main power across the whole world. Because to represent an organization, to cover that, it's kind of a big deal for reporters. And you're right, people crave to be a part of this kind of an event where they get to report on national and international issues. But then you also see a complete turnaround where reporters are hesitant to cover this because they are not following protocol. See, now I feel wearing masks is not a kind of an health issue. It's become a political issue. If you wear mask, then you belong to one particular political party. If you don't wear mask, then you represent another political party. That's how it is right now. You know, people are not believing on science anymore. Why is this an issue? Because scientists have documented there are like n number of research studies that has been published in respectable journals about the importance of wearing masks. Of course, there are a lot of results about wearing cloth masks and N95 various masks, but at least, you know, mask is something that protects others from your infection. And that's one of the most basic concepts of wearing a mask. But here you see a big, you know, organization like, you know, the Washington, D.C. or the White House, where the government is not keen about enforcing this kind of issue. Okay, this is what we're going to do. If you want, be here or get out. I think that is not good in the long run. I think, you know, I mean, I'm not any supporter of any political parties, but this is basic science. I mean, Will was very right in his article that, you know, people have to make some conscious decisions, even though it comes with a risk. I mean, we still have reporters covering it. You know, there are some organizations who don't want to cover. But what about other organizations where they expect the reporters to be there no matter the safety concern? You know, that's again the other side of the spectrum which we're not even talking about. Journalists are risking because of someone's decision.
You know, that's an interesting point that some reporters are being told you have to cover this. And it sounds like they don't have the support of management when they bring up their concerns about how dangerous it might be.
Yeah. That's what, no money, no honey, right? You know, we have to, people have to pay the bills. You know, journalism is part of like a job. And, you know, even though the reporters is going to face some kind of risk, they have to do it. You know, I've been forced to do something which I'm not comfortable doing during my career because my boss wants me to do that. That's it. There is no other option for me. So I feel bad for the reporters who are forced to cover it because that's part of, you know, survival here.
And this is just the latest episode with the Trump administration trying to cover this White House, trying to cover this campaign. As we've seen throughout the past 4 years, it's been dangerous, physically dangerous for reporters to cover the president because the way he talks about journalism and the way he fires up his supporters to threaten journalists.
Yeah, that's right, Rich. I mean, and we've talked about on this program before about how journalists, generally those that are international or report overseas, how they put their lives in peril just to report the facts in countries where there are oligarchies and other things where, you know, a la Jamal Khashoggi and what happened 2-3 years ago with him. And this what we've seen here perpetuate here in 2020 alone with the demonstrations with people protesting and journalists trying to do their jobs here on American soil. And now this, right? This new episode. This brings this this danger warning to a whole new low, and it heightens it. And again, I think it just goes to show how much, to the likes we've never seen before, how much journalism is under attack by our leading government officials. And you know, we can't get enough people to recognize this to really help right in this fast enough. And this is something that's, I think, is in crisis mode, and we've got to recognize it and do something about it soon.
And also the fact is the media is expected to function more like a PR organization where we only talk about the good aspects of the government. If you say anything bad about the government, then we are branded something like we are the enemy of the state and we are fake news and stuff like that. And this is the kind of situation right now we are in, that there is a lot of division across the country in terms of how media is even being seen by the mass. You know, some people think, you know, media is completely fake. Some people think, you know, media is where I get a lot of information. So there is a lot of, you know, thing about media that media is basically not giving enough information. Media is completely fake. And again, this is the kind of situation that we are living in right now that, you know, if we are resonating with what the audience wants, then we are good. And if we don't, then we are branded as bad. That's what it is.
And I think this lends itself to, again, to people understanding just what our industry is, what the First Amendment is, media literacy. This is just opening those floodgates again and a general misunderstanding about what journalists are and what they stand for and how the public and the general people and the general citizen needs to be aware of this. And I think we're having greater awareness because of what's been perpetuating during this administration.
With that, we're going to wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.